Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this July 12th. I hope you are doing well. We have completed all of the camps, the kids' camps out at Covenant Cedars. The high schoolers just finished their time out there this week and had a wonderful time. It was a completely full camp out there at Covenant Cedars, not a bed space left for the high school camp. And so that part is now done. And so we praise God for a wonderful summer full of camps for our kids. It all seemed to go really good. A couple announcements as we begin today. One is we have our baptism after church today. It's going to begin at 11 a.m. over at the Warner's Pond there in the back of their place on Branched Oak Road. And we're looking forward to that. We have 12 different people who are going to be baptized, who will share a bit of their faith, be prayed for, and then we'll go into the water and baptize them. And then there are going to be a picnic afterwards. We have some pulled pork left over from the July 4th barbecue in town. We're going to have that there, and people are going to bring a side or dessert to share. And we'll have a wonderful afternoon together. So if you're watching this early enough on a Sunday and want to join us out there, please come out. It's going to be a great time. Next weekend, on Friday and Saturday, in Waverly, are their annual Waverly garage sales. And so lots of homes and that will have stuff for sale. But we're going to have a sale at the Cove, our youth center there. And we're going to open up that new space. And people have donated items. You can still give us items if you want to go into that sale. You got to get them to us here in the next few days. But we're going to have a sale there from 10 to 4 on Friday and Saturday of this week. Excuse me. And so come on out and support the Cove if you would like to. Then in 2 weeks from today, we have a pool party over at the Waverly Aquatic Center. We've reserved that from 6 to 8 p.m. on Sunday, July 26th. It's free for families to come on out and be able to have a neat evening there in that really amazing aquatic center. They've got a little small little river, kind of where you can lazy river. They've got pools and slides and splash areas. And so come on out and join us for that. And then the last announcement is that in 3 weeks from today, on August 2nd, that Sunday, after church, we're going to have our Growing Hope Farmers Market. And so that's an opportunity. All the that we make from that will go to the Growing Hope Mission Projects all around the world, where they help, in Christ's name, farmers and agriculture and villages with food supply and growing things. And so we do a farmers market here where all the proceeds go. So we ask you to donate or bring fruits and vegetables out of your gardens, to bring some crafts, things like that, that you would like. Last time, I think the youth group made a whole bunch of cookies and squares, and other people made bread and sold it too. And so it was wonderful. It's going to be after our church service on the 2nd. And so we look forward to that. Well, we are on a sermon series here on the fruit of the Spirit, and today we're going to look at the fruit of faithfulness. And I thought a good way to open this time, if you know the first verse and chorus of the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, would you sing that along with me as we just thank God first for His faithfulness? Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of mercy with Thee. Thy change is not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along with me, I'm going to read two different scriptures today. The first one from the Old Testament, it is Lamentations 3, 19 to 23. And it says this, I remember my affliction and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And yet this I call to mind and have hope, that because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. And then the second scripture I want to read is from Matthew 25. And it's going to be a parable. And it's beginning in verse 14, a teaching of Jesus here. And it says this, Jesus said, again, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted all of his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The one who had received the 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work, and he gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5 and said, Master, you've entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I'm going to put you in charge now of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man who had 2 bags of gold also came and said, Master, you've entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gathered where I do not scatter seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I'd at least have had it back with interest. So take this bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they won't have, or what little they have, will be taken from them. And then throw this worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So can you remember the fruit of the Spirit here? We'll just say them together. The 9 fruit of the Spirit is listed in the Bible. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This morning we look at number 7, faithfulness. And you know, every one of the fruit of the Spirit that we've studied so far, I tell you, I've been extremely thankful for them and also convicted by it. I'm thankful because this is our God. The more we learn of the fruit of the Spirit, we know these are who he is. And so I think we should stop for a minute and just be thankful that God is love and not hate, for example. God is joy and not despair. God is peace and not war. God is patient and doesn't give us up on us. God is kind. He is merciful. God is good And every one of the good things in our life has come from him. And God is faithful. How important is that? That God is faithful. I mean, I didn't really stop to realize until this week how big of a word faithful is. In the original Hebrew and Greek, which the Bible is translated from, the first part of the word faith in the Bible literally is to believe or to trust. Well, the added letter at the end of the word, which in our Bibles is translated to faithful, I learned this week that added letter literally means worthy. So faithful is literally worthy of our trust. Trustworthy, faithful. Moses wrote of God in Deuteronomy 32:4, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect. All of his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. Our God is worthy of our praise and our faith. In whom we put our faith in, he is faithful. He will do just what he says every time. He will not let us down. He is certain. He is steady. He is firm. He is honest. He is just. He is perfect. He will do just what he says. He will never leave or forsake us. His covenant is eternal. His love is forever. His goodness never ends. His salvation, it's a sure thing. His promises are yes and amen. This is what Jeremiah is saying in the book of Lamentations, which we read, that first scripture from the Old Testament. Jeremiah writes this lament out while watching his nation and people crumble because of their idolatry and sin, right in the middle of this writing that's so full of sorrows and tragedies, watching the people of God. Watching the people of God have to go into exile and slavery when they didn't have to, but because of their pride and stubborn and sinful hearts. Yet in the middle of this darkest and uncertain hour, in the middle of that, Jeremiah says, our scripture, yet this I call to mind, and I still have hope. Hope isn't lost, he's saying. For because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. In other words, this is not our end because we've got God. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah knows the sun is going to come up tomorrow and God's going to be there. I'm okay. He's going to reach out his hand as he always does. He's going to be watching over us. He's going to be working on our behalf to redeem and restore this people of his to the plans that he has for them. He is the rock we can count on. You can always count on God to be God, to do what he says, to act within his character. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we're faithless, he'll remain faithful because he cannot deny himself. He cannot be what he's not. God is not faithful to you and me because we're worthy and good. He is faithful and good because he is. It is his nature and character. This is God. It is who he is. He is faithful, worthy of our trust and our faith. And aren't you glad for that this morning? I mean, think about that if it were the opposite. But how wonderful that God is faithful. Because we're not perfect in all of our ways. We are not without sin. Our world is not always just. At times we do terrible wrongs. The people in our life at times aren't always honest and reliable and trustworthy. And yet in this shaky world, we have a steady God. And he is with us. His eyes on us. His love unfailing. His hold on us is secure. He is our rock. He is our steady in the midst of the storm. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. I love Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount when he talks about worry and why we shouldn't worry. He says in Matthew 6:32, it's because your Father knows what you need. That's enough, he says. And he says, look at how he is committed to the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and how much more are you to him than they are, he says. He says, and if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more can you trust the Father to give good to you? You see, he's trustworthy. He is faithful. That is why we don't need to fear. Well, like all of the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing we must learn from him is this is who God is. And we who trust the Lord with our life and salvation, we're meant to learn how to walk like he is, to walk by the Spirit and not the flesh, to grow in this character of Christ, that his love might be in us, his joy, peace, and patience, and goodness, and faithfulness would be seen in our life. For we are a new creation in Christ. He's raised us up to this new life. And by his Spirit, he is working all things out in us. And it may take a while, you know, to grow in patience and to grow in better faithfulness. But God will complete the work that he began in us. He'll do it if we just abide in him. He will bear the fruit in our lives. One of the ways he wants to grow us is faithfulness. So this, you know, makes me, of course, makes all of us stop and really reflect on, well, how are we doing in this area? Am I a person that others can count on? You know, if I said I would do something, do I do it? If I said I would be there, do I show up? Is my word my bond? Do I keep my promises? Even when, as I'm going along, realizing these outcomes aren't going to be what I hope for, will I still follow through? Will I still show up because I said I would? Am I a loyal friend? Am I dependable at work with my responsibilities? Am I a faithful husband? You know, do I promise to be, fulfill those things that I vowed to carry that I would? Am I growing in my devotion and faithfulness to God and all that he has trusted to me to be faithful to him and what he cares about? I think of the Old Testament story of David and how God called David to be king because Saul wasn't being faithful. That's why. Saul was this powerful, popular, but not trustworthy and obedient king. Saul was deceptive, not devoted to God and God's purposes, but Saul was devoted to himself, doing whatever made him look good. Saul was interested in his own wealth and glory rather than his character, glorifying God and his rule, glorifying and being obedient to God. Well, David was different. Even though David was not perfect and he still struggled at times, he was a man after God's own heart. He cared more about what God wanted than what happened to him. Well, I think about that story a lot because in this world, we are often tempted with a kind of a worship of success or what we can get out of something, what's best for us. We want certain things. We want power. We want what other people have. We compare ourselves to other people. And at times, we will do anything to achieve whatever will benefit us or what we want, even if it's immoral and not right, not honest. In this world, the outcome often justifies the means. But that's not the way it is with God. God doesn't look like at things like man does. He looks at the heart. For him, success means nothing if you lost your soul to get there. God cares about faithfulness. He will accomplish the good things. He will accomplish the victory if we just remain faithful to him. Be a person who is honest and loyal and dependable and good. You might look around you and see others getting ahead. You might envy what they have. Don't do that. Seek him first. Trust in God. He will pour out into your life. I think of Jesus as our example in this. He was perfect, the only one ever. Yet if someone were to look at his life from a worldly standpoint and might be tempted to see a lack of success. He had no home. All his friends abandoned him in his moment of need. He was crucified on a cross. He was betrayed. And yet Jesus remained faithful to what the Father had called him to do. He was obedient. And on the third day, he was lifted up from the grave, ultimately to the highest place, and salvation came to us all. And the disciples eventually returned, and the church began and is now spread across all over this world 2,000 years later. Trust the outcomes to God. You just concern yourself with being faithful to what he has asked of you to do. He will take care of the rest. There are two main ways I think God wants to grow the fruit of faithfulness in our life. The first one, as an increasing belief in him and a devotion to him. That's the first area where we must see faithfulness. We're first to be faithful to God. Faithfulness is first with him. Are we growing in greater love and devotion to God today? Can you see in your life as you have walked with Christ, maybe many years or maybe just a short time, but have you gotten to know him more and spent more time with him in prayer and his word and worship? Can you see a greater love in your heart for God? A greater faith in him and what he alone can do? A greater interest in the things of God and a decreasing interest in the things of this world? Well, if so, that's the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. That is the Lord changing your heart into what matters most and what lasts forever. Can you see increasing belief in you? The more you walk with God, do you trust him more that he's going to follow through with what he has said? Nothing is impossible with him. Maybe God has allowed certain trials in your life that have grown a greater faith in you towards his faithfulness. Maybe what you've gone through has really helped you see that God does carry us and help us and come through maybe years later with things that we have prayed for. God will do what he promised. He will never let us go. Every time we go through something that we maybe really feared and we see God work, we get to see that he is faithful. We get to see it more and more. Sometimes God puts people in our life that increase our faith in his faithfulness. I look back over my life and so many incredible people of churches and places that I've been at different times that have grown a greater faith in me, belief and trust in his faithfulness. As a teenager, it was Albert Yeh and Todd Schlechta. You know, when I went off to college, I remember it was Dave and Beth Canellis, who worked with Young Life there. I remember when I was in seminary, it was George Welch. Right there in Chicago, I was interning at this church and going to seminary, and this wonderful 95-year-old retired missionary was in that church, and possible that he was only there because of me. I mean, that God put him there because God knew what I needed. And George was faithful, coming every Sunday, you know, with his walker, walking over from the nursing home, and he invested in me. He took to me. He invited me over, mentored me, built up my faith in what the Lord can do, the amazing things that God can do in a life that is devoted to him, or what God can do in his people when they pray. I learned a lot of this from George and his amazing stories from the mission field where God provided for them or healed or brought salvation to people that George said, I never thought it would happen, but it did. God used George Welch in my life to grow in me a greater faith in God's faithfulness, a greater devotion to Christ. And when he prayed for you, man, you could feel the Spirit. God puts people in circumstances in our life to grow in us greater faithfulness. We begin to trust God more. We begin to desire more of him. Faithfulness is first seen in our devotion to God. Well, that's why I wanted to read this parable from Matthew 25 for us, where Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God like a man going away on a journey and trusting to his servants his wealth. Just like the Lord has given all of us certain gifts and resources. Well, to the man gave to the one 5 bags of gold, to another 2, to another 1. And in the parable, if you remember and see it, here you really read it, it's not about how much someone has, it's about what they do with what they've been given. I want to say that again. Faithfulness is not about so much what you have compared to another, but what you do with what you've been given. This is what matters to God, what you do with it. The life that he gave you, the resources, the people that he's put in your particular path, the gifts of the Spirit that he's given you. The one with 5 bags of gold in the parable, he put that money to work and it gained 5 more. It multiplied. The one with 2 did the same thing. And to each one, the Lord returned and said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come now and share in your master's happiness." But to the one who had only been given 1 bag of gold, that person, all he did was dig a hole and bury it. And we learn later in the story, it was because he had no faith in his master. He didn't think too much of him, thought he was unfair, taking what wasn't his, not trustworthy, not good, so he hid what he had. He was a servant, but he didn't serve. And to this one, the Lord was hard on him. The point of the parable is simply that we're to be faithful to serve the Lord from what he has given us. He has given all of us certain things, even just knowledge of him and salvation. And the truth that God is good and loves us and sent his son who died for us. What are we doing with that which we know? Are we sharing it? Are we pouring into other people's lives like George Welch did with me? He's given each of us gifts of the Spirit, talents and opportunities to serve him and to do good for the kingdom. Our life is short. Are we living it for him? What are we doing with all that we've been given? Are we faithful? It's not about what someone else has or what someone else does. It's just about what are you doing with what God has given you. Sure, you're not a preacher, but maybe you've got other talents. Are you using them to serve God in this life? It took me a while to get over my insecurities, and at times, I'll be honest, they're still there, and they can still creep up. But I would look at the talents and gifts of other pastors and preachers, and I would see their big churches and hear their incredible sermons and how they lead with such confidence and good wisdom, and I would feel totally inadequate, like I had nothing to give. I'd see my sin as well, and I would feel unworthy to serve. The devil would get right in here into my head and almost make me ineffective and want to hide my life and what I had to offer. But the Lord has come to me so many times and has assured me that this isn't coming from him, that it's not important how I stack up next to others that I look up to, that he made me one way and them another, and he gave me these particular people to serve and love and share with at this time and this particular voice in my way he created me to do. And all I need to do is be faithful to who he has called me to be. That's what matters, faithfulness. Not all of the other stuff that we focus on. Don't compare the bags of gold. Don't compare the gifts of others. Don't look at what others have or don't have or doing or not doing. Just be faithful to the Lord who has given you his life and everything you got. Keep your eyes on him and just offer it up to him. This is faithfulness. When we were in Canada for 10 years, there was this particular woman who was in our church, and she really went through a tough time, spiritually speaking. Not just physical, but she faced a real spiritual internal battle. And it was my wife, Carrie, who really understood her and was able to minister to her. The Lord used Carrie to help set this woman free. And I saw it. It was a miracle what God did in her life. Well, after a particularly important evening ministering to her, we were driving away, and I knew God had just used Carrie there. And I felt the Lord so strong say to me on that drive away, "Dan, away with all of your pride. If I had brought you guys up to Canada just for this one woman to help her, for Carrie to minister to her, as I've uniquely equipped Carrie to do, would you still have come? If it wasn't about building up big churches and doing all these other things that you have ambition to do, would you still have been faithful to come if it was just for this one woman? Would that have been enough?" You see, our own egos often get in the way when what God cares about is simply faithfulness. It may be for the one person that you're going through what you're going through, or for that one person that you're teaching that class. What if the circumstances in our life and the people in our life, what if the Lord had just called us to love Him and to be faithful to Him and to trust that He's going to do it? We just got to keep showing up and believing that He can. Just be faithful. Stay the course. A scripture that means a lot to me is 2 Timothy 4:2, which says, "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." I love the verse because of the phrase, "out of season." It's fun to preach in season when everyone's coming in revival and affirmations are there every dime at the door. But it's that out of season when it really matters. When, you know, I can feel in my life that God is asking me to be faithful, to keep showing up and preaching the word, even if people aren't coming, even if people aren't responding, or even if that family that I'm hoping will show up doesn't show up. I can't control any of that. I just got to be doing what the Lord has called me to do and leave the rest with Him. I'm called to be faithful to God and to serve, because you never know when that person might show up or need to hear that one thing that draws them back. I can't control others. I just got to do my job to be faithful to what God has asked me to do. It makes me think of Peter in John 21, where after the resurrection, Jesus is telling him to go and feed my sheep. And Jesus even tells Peter that one day Peter's going to have to lay down his life for the Lord. And after Jesus says this, Peter looks over at John and says, "Well, what about him?" And Jesus says, "What's that to you? Peter, you just keep your eyes on me. You just do what I've commanded you to do. John is my responsibility, not yours." Faithfulness is first between us and God. What will we do with what we've been given? Will we grow in a greater belief in Him and service and devotion? The second and final way, though, that I see faithfulness come out here in the Bible is with other people. So are we faithful to other people? Loyal, dependable, keeping our promises and appointments, following through. Do we show up for our friends? Do we know what it means to be a good friend? You know, are we there for our aging parents when they need us to love and take care of them? Do we take the time? Are we present for our wife when she needs a hand or wants to talk or needs our time? Or do we just think about ourselves? What about our kids? Are we faithful to our job as a mom and a dad? They need guidance and teaching. Are we faithful to that? What about our church family? Are we doing our part? Or do we let everybody else do all the work? What about at our job? Are we a reliable worker, showing up on time, staying until the job gets done? All of this is faithfulness, you see. It's easy to be there when there's something in it for us. But true faithfulness shows up for others when it's hard or requires sacrifice or doesn't benefit us at all. When I don't feel like going, but I go anyway because I told them. Or when I'm part of something that maybe I don't need, but they need me. Or simply because there's something that needs to get done, and it might be hard work and it might take all day. But it's what it means to be family. Faithfulness is seen when you keep your vows, even when the other isn't. Faithfulness in a broken marriage, that can be hard. Faithfulness as a parent with a troubled teen, you might just want to say, "Who cares?" Or with a job that's no longer profitable. Faithfulness like that requires the help of the Holy Spirit to stay the course, even if it demands of you the cross. I've seen faithfulness with certain people as they care day in and day out for their spouse going through Alzheimer's. So loyal to providing that care. I've seen it with kids showing up for their parents needing extra help or calling them each day. God sees that faithfulness. I think of Ruth in the Bible, who chose to stay with her mother-in-law when her mother-in-law needed her. Instead of thinking about herself, Ruth put the needs of her ahead. That's God's faithfulness in her. I think of Jonathan, who was such a friend to David, loyal and stood beside him, protected him from his father Saul, who was breathing out all these murderous threats. That's true friendship. Faithfulness is loyalty. And I think that's a really big deal today, a virtue that's kind of been lost. We are quick to doubt others or to drop people in our life when they're tough or being toxic or believe something different than us. We're quick to move on to a different job or leave work unfinished. And in leadership, we can be quick to give up on workers when they don't produce right away rather than taking the time to teach and invest in them. In church, faithfulness can be learning how to just agree to disagree and maintain a relationship for a greater mission goal. Learning to bear with one another in love. Again, I think about the parable for today. It said, if we're faithful in the little things, God will entrust to us bigger things. So at times, I kind of wonder if we're going through tests, you know, of a loyalty with a friend, or are we going to show up for that meeting even though we would rather just relax for the night? Are we going to follow through with a job that we don't really want to do, but we said we would? If maybe these are the little tests, the little ways that God is watching, is he going to be faithful here? If so, then I'm going to open up this door for him there. Greater responsibility. Are we faithful in the little ways? In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said we shouldn't be a people who need to make oaths, but people that others just know they can trust. You know, that our yes means yes and our no means no, that we're a person of our word. Back in Bible times, oaths were a big deal. People would make all these legal and formal oaths like we would a contract. And they would make an oath like swearing on the temple or before God to do something, and they would honor that oath. But their word every day would often be something they didn't. They would only do what profited them in the moment. But Jesus said, we Christians should not be like that. We should be like our God who follows through, who is faithful even when we're faithless. To every commitment, that we would be honest, that we would be trustworthy. This is just one way we're to be different than the world and shine like stars for Jesus, to be a person of our word, to be a loyal friend, to be a good neighbor, to be like our Savior who puts the needs of others ahead of ourselves, and to do what we can with what we've been given to serve our God. This is the fruit of faithfulness. It's not about what others do or don't do. It's just, what are we going to do with what we have been given? Will we be faithful, fully devoted to our Lord, growing in greater faith and service to him who is fully worthy of it all? Hope you have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.